Thank you for having me. I do appreciate you carving out space in your meeting. I do think we are at a critical time, and it's important to talk to our community about what's going on. So the challenge we're facing right now is we're seeing a surge in three separate viruses at the same time. So we're seeing rising COVID-19 infections, rapidly rising flu infections, and rising RSV infections all at the same time. And it's really overwhelming our healthcare system in the region as a whole, and in the state as a whole. Particularly the area where we're seeing the greatest challenge is in our pediatric care. Washington State has a very centralized pediatric system, so we don't have pediatric hospitals in rural areas like ours. We send all of our critically ill children to the Seattle or Tacoma area. And unfortunately, all of the state is getting hit at the same time with this surge in multiple respiratory viruses. And so we're losing the ability to care for all of those very sick kids. Seattle Children's and Mary Bridge are reporting that their ERs are seeing three times their normal peak of pediatric needs in a normal flu season. So you're seeing kids basically piling up in waiting rooms, staff trying to take care of kids in closets, things that we're just not used to doing, and certainly not with children. And so in our region, in order to try to help manage some of this demand, we're actually taking care of critically ill kids here. So in Jefferson and in Clallam County, which is not something we normally do. We don't have pediatric hospitalists here. We have caring family docs and pediatricians, but we don't have folks who are used to taking care of really sick kids in the hospital. And particularly one of the challenges we have is we don't have nurses who are used to taking care of critically ill kids in the hospital. And that's a very specialized skill set. So everyone here is doing everything they can. But I think it's really important for the public to know that this is happening, because it can be hard to know. If you have kids, you probably know that everyone you know who has kids is sick right now. That's because of what's going on with these viruses circulating. In most cases, these viruses, you know, even COVID, RSV, and flu, generally won't lead to critical illness in most people. But in a small percentage, they do. And when enough of us get sick, that small percentage is enough to overwhelm our systems. Unfortunately, partly due to the inability to transfer children for care, we actually lost a child in Clallam County. We had a death of an infant in the last couple of weeks due to RSV. And they tried to transfer this child to Children's, but they couldn't get them there. There wasn't any beds, and there wasn't enough transfer capability to get that child there. And so, that's just the kind of tragedy that we want to prevent. And I think it's important for the community to know that all of these viruses can be prevented by masking. So flu, RSV, COVID, all don't transmit when we wear masks in indoor areas. And so all of the health officers and the healthcare leaders of our local hospitals signed on, all the west side of the state signed on to a shared statement asking our communities to return to masking indoors while we get through this surge of viral infections. We anticipate that this surge will last through probably January, and so it won't be forever. But if we all wore masks indoors December and January, it would make all the difference to reduce transmission of these viruses. There's a couple other things we could do. Thank you. There's a couple other things we could do that would really reduce transmission. So one is to stay home when you're sick. I know we've been talking about this before, but I think a lot of us got in the habit of testing for COVID, and then if it's not COVID, going anyway. And it's important to remember that RSV and flu won't show up positive on a COVID test. And especially in adults, you might just feel like you have a cold, but in a kid, that could get them critically ill, and we don't have the beds for them right now. And so it's really, really important that we don't spread illnesses to children if we can help it. So that means not going to family dinners if you're feeling ill, or if your child is feeling ill, keeping them home so we don't spread it among each other. The other critical thing to do is to stay up to date on your vaccines. COVID-19 and influenza have two highly effective vaccines, but unfortunately, we've seen lower uptake of the influenza vaccine this year than in prior years. So it's really important that we get up to date. Those vaccines go a long way to keep us from getting severely ill, and especially making sure your kids have gotten up to date on their vaccines, because we want to make sure they don't need any of these hospital beds. No one wants a critically ill child in their family, and certainly I don't want anyone in our community to face this heartbreaking challenge of having a very sick kid and not having a place to take them. So making sure they're up to date on their vaccines is the biggest thing you can do there. And I would strongly encourage us, we're not mandating it right now, but I would strongly encourage us to move back to masking in schools. Unfortunately, most kids now are not masking in schools, and schools are becoming a primary source of transmission of all of these viruses. It's super hard to do. Kids don't want to do anything that makes them feel weird, but talking to your kids, talking to your teachers, trying to see if we can get more kids masking in schools, I think would make a huge difference here. But even if the kids can't mask in schools, we, the adults, can reduce transmission by wearing masks in indoor spaces and staying home when we're sick. And so with that, I'm happy to take any questions from the commissioners.
I have one. So I'm just noticing that we have about half the normal number of people on the attendee list today, and I'm not seeing any school principals or superintendents. So are you communicating with our school districts? And okay, great.
We have a regular Tuesday meeting. So the next one is tomorrow. So we're going to be having this conversation tomorrow for sure.
Great. Okay. Any other questions for Dr. Barry?
Just to kind of follow up on our conversation from last week, Dr. Barry, I think we're interested in having you, if your schedule accommodates it, probably first and third Mondays at 9:45, and just wanted to confirm that was all right.
Yes, that would be just fine. And I know that this is a special meeting, but we'll be back next week because that's first and third, and we'll get back on that cadence so that everybody can know.
Great. Thank you for that flexibility. And then just kind of following up on Heidi's question about schools. I mean, I struggle to get my own daughter. If less than half of the kids are wearing it, then it's not cool. So, I mean, are the teachers going to start modeling this? I'm skeptical that without something additional, we'll get more than half of the kids masking in schools.
Yeah, I think you're very right. Kids in particular are very vulnerable to peer pressure and not wanting to feel weird. And so I think the first step is to make sure that all the adults in the room are modeling that. So if we can get the adults in our community modeling in indoor spaces, and particularly if we can get teachers and school staff modeling masking, that could make a huge difference. As far as mandates, I think one of the challenges we have there is that because this is such a regional issue, if we put a mandate in Jefferson County, but we don't get one in King and Pierce County, it won't be enough to protect us. It won't fix the problem. And so if we are going to go that way, I think we do need the whole region to go as one, and it would make a huge difference in protecting our kids. But I don't think this is a moment where we can go it alone. But I think the more that we model as adults, that can make a huge difference. And we make sure to get our kids up to date on their vaccines, including their flu shot. And remember, there is a nasal flu vaccine. I got that for my kid who does not like shots. So that can be a really good option if you have a kiddo who's worried about pokes.
Thank you.
Quick question. It sounds like flu and RSV are more of a concern right now than COVID, and maybe next week we'll be talking more about COVID. But just I'm curious, is the bivalent booster seeming to provide adequate prevention or protection against the current variants of COVID going around?
So we are, unfortunately, now COVID is starting to rise too. So our current case rate for COVID-19 is 466 per 100,000. So it is rapidly ticking up. And it's not just here. We're seeing that at the state and the national level too. For the first time, even though the state and the nation are only tracking PCRs, we're starting to see that really tick up quickly. We're also starting to see a rise in hospitalizations for COVID too. Our case ascertainment rate in Jefferson County is 1 in 6. So we're catching about 1 in 6 of the cases out there. At the state level, that's about 1 in 14. So we're getting about twice as many cases that we're finding here. So that'll say it's serious on all of those cases. pieces. The bivalent booster is actually making a big difference in reducing symptomatic disease. It's not 100%. You can definitely still get a breakthrough infection, but it does reduce your likelihood of getting symptomatic disease from COVID-19. And of course, it dramatically reduces your risk of severe disease. It's incredibly effective against BA4 and 5, and it's still relatively effective against BQ1.1, which is the rising subvariant. Interestingly, we're seeing that play out because Washington State has more bivalent uptake than most other states in the country. And so we don't have as much BQ1.1 here as we do in other places. It's taking a lot longer to overtake here. And that's the effect of the bivalent booster. But of course, we still don't have enough people who have gotten that. In Jefferson County, it's about 45% of our community has moved forward with their bivalent, which is great, puts us as one of the highest in the state, but we've got a long way to go. So if more of us got our bivalent, that would also reduce COVID-19 transmission. And we're still seeing it work well in reducing transmission in our highest risk areas. So our long-term care facilities are very highly vaccinated, and we have yet to see a COVID outbreak. Even though in our neighboring counties, we're starting to see long-term care facilities get shut down with massive outbreaks, we're not seeing it here. And we think that that's really the bivalent that's doing that.
Great, thank you.
And I would just add, I mean, I think I felt like I wanted you here this week because we're moving into the holiday season. And I felt like I was at a few events last week that I was like saying under my breath, super spreader, you know, yes. where I just felt like, oh my God. You know, like the craft fairs and the holiday parties. And we're coming into that time where it's joy and gathering with our friends and family. And it just seems like, you know, we need to remember and know that all of these viruses are in our community right now. And we could be hurting the people that we care the most about. So anyway, I reached a moment of panic last week, so I really appreciate you being here. And I don't think we left very much time for other people's questions.
Well, we can do KPTZ next week, but I wanted to highlight that it's the holiday season. Gathering is joyful and important, and it's okay to gather. In fact, I recommend it, but you need to be thoughtful about how you do it. And so if it's a gathering where you can mask, that's great. So you can go to all the craft fairs you want and wear a mask. I've been going to our local craft fairs. It's been great. I wear a mask when I'm there. If you're going to go to a gathering where there's food offered, which there usually is this time of year, it's especially important that you don't go if you're sick. So my family, actually, we missed our family Thanksgiving because my daughter had a fever. And my dad has a heart problem. And so we're not going to mix those two things. And it was hard, but it was the right move because I don't need my family needing a hospital bed right now. And so I think we have so much pent up need to gather that we're tempted to go when we're sick, but please don't do that. Stay home if you're ill. And then if you're well, you can go. Keep the gathering somewhat small. And if it's going to be a large gathering, make sure it's a mass gathering. And if we do all of that, we can really tamp this down, but we've got to bring back all of that energy that we had before so that we can get through this safely and particularly protect our kids this holiday season.
Thank you, Dr. Berry. We appreciate you being here on a special call to duty this morning, and have a great holiday. Well, we'll see you before the holidays. So next week we'll have a full update from Dr. Berry at 9:45 on Monday the 19th, where she will have the luxury of time to answer questions from the community. But we appreciate you being here this morning.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.